This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. We cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley, and that includes what's going on in Salem with members of the Oregon State Legislature, getting frequent conversations with them. State Representative Alex Carlatos from District 4, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, first off, you guys just put out a release, a joint release, just in the past hour regarding the veterans home facility in Roseburg. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's we reallocated $35 million for the Roseburg Veterans Home. This is a project that's been a long time coming, longer than even I've been in the legislature by a long time. It's something David Brock Smith, our state senator from the Roseburg area, has been working on for a long, long time. And it's fantastic to hear because it's been needed for a long time. It's been on the docket to get done for a long time. And we were just kind of waiting on the federal funding, and then we needed to reallocate the state funding. So I'm very happy that that's finally getting done.
And you kind of had to go through the same process, I would imagine, this time as was done originally.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was a little bit easier because we didn't need to sell the project since it was kind of already sold the first time. And again, it was... we already had the federal money allocated, so it was just finding the state money to match it.
What do you see about some of the benefits of this facility?
I mean, it's basically a care home, and the ones that we have in the state of Oregon already are hugely successful, and they're actually really good programs, you know, especially for elderly veterans that can't really take care of themselves without some help. And Roseburg, due to its, you know, the VA, the high veteran population we have in this whole region of southwestern Oregon, I mean, it's something that we should have done 10 or 20 years ago. So I'm just glad that it's finally on track to get done.
Well, I think we're at about year 16 or 17 since the idea originally,
exactly,
you know, came around back when Tim Freeman was in the legislature and other folks involved in it. And of course, it's had some ups and downs. Pandemic didn't help. And here you are finally looking like you're getting closer to moving forward.
Yeah, and again, it's been such a long time coming. I really have to give the credit to all the other state reps who came before me, like Tim Freeman, like David Brock Smith, you know, even Virgil Osborne, Court Boyce. I mean, everyone's been working on this for such a long time. I really can't take much of the credit for it.
Well, and I know there's still a lot of things ahead with the federal level. So realistically, other conversations I've had with some of the members of Congress said it's still going to be a ways up the road before we get all the pieces put together.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it, just because there has been so many different speed bumps along the way for this project. I think it will get done, just a matter of time, but I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch. And, you know, we've seen delays on this project before, but at least we on the state level have done our job and allocated the money. So now it's time for the federal government to do the same.
All right. Well, we'll keep our eye on that one, of course. Let's talk about the upcoming special session of the legislature. The governor put out kind of a revision last week, I suppose, to some extent, with kind of her plan for the session for the Oregon Department of Transportation budget. What do you see there?
I see tax increases and nothing to hold the agency accountable. I mean, at the end of the day, this package that she's proposing, it's not even necessarily because she thinks it's the best package. It's the package that she thinks she can pass without any Republican votes. And so that's the plan. She just took the time off to talk to all the Democrats that weren't happy with the transportation package, which was the reason it failed the first time around. She probably moved some money around and made them happy. And so now she thinks she has the votes, so she's going to call for a special session. I still think it's something we should take care of in the short session, since that's exactly what short sessions are for. But, you know, they're the party in power, and if they think they can pass this on their own, I mean, I guess they will.
Now, do you see any difference in the numbers from what the governor was proposing back during the regular session?
It's slightly pared down, but it's still huge tax increases. I think it was like a 4-cent gas tax increase immediately. I'd have to check all the specifics because I don't have them off the top of my head. But it's still massive tax increases, and it's still something I don't think any Republican is going to support. And again, it's just what she thinks she can get away with her own party.
And one of those things, too, was a fairly good-sized increase in registration fees.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if you look at the Republican plan to fix ODOT, the money is there. All we have to do is reallocate it or even cut a little bit. But there is so much waste at ODOT. I'm on the Joint Transportation Subcommittee for Ways and Means. So we get to look at ODOT's budget, every department, all their employees, what they spend their money on. And there is so much waste and just money that could be reallocated to actually go to roads. And if that's ODOT's core mission, you should, if you're in a budget crisis, reallocate all your money to your base core job, which is road maintenance.
So what are you seeing there in funds that you think aren't going the right way?
Well, thank you for asking. I'll consult my list here for a second. We could reallocate $68 million just from vacancies. That's positions that aren't being filled right now because of the budget crisis. So we could just cut that right off the top since they aren't using those employees anyway. We could lease unused office space at the ODOT headquarters and save about $56 million per biennium. We have a bicycle and pedestrian program. If we cut that, that would be about $47 million right there. About $40 million per biennium is just agency overhead. Passenger rail, we could cut for $38 million. And reallocations from the vehicle privilege tax, which goes to a lot of other projects and agencies, would save us about $35 million. The Social Equity and Civil Rights Division, we could cut for $26 million. And about, let me see. Yeah, and just the Human Resources Division is 56 positions, for example. That's 56 employees, more than the average company in Oregon, that just do HR. So I think we could pare that down quite a bit. Again, when you're in a budget crisis, you should reallocate all of your resources to the core mission, cut overhead, cut administration, cut human resources, cut even, you know, passenger rail and things that really only benefit Portland, and focus on the core mission, which is road maintenance, instead of threatening to cut, you know, actual road maintenance employees in conveniently all the districts that voted against your transportation package.
Well, and that area has caused some concern with people, especially looking ahead at things like winter.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, they're talking about shutting down maintenance on 138 out to Diamond Lake. That's a huge problem. And again, if you look at the geography of where all these cuts are taking place, they're in all the Republican districts that voted no on the transportation package, and just the handful of Democrat districts that voted no on the transportation package. So it was an obvious threat that if we have to cut, it's going to be cut in the areas, in the geographic areas where people disagreed with the transportation package. And again, it's not even about transportation. It's about the amount of money that they waste. I mean, in my subcommittee, we allocated $3 million to research a bicycle bridge on the coast. That's $3 million that we wasted just to study if we should put in a bicycle bridge on the coast. I mean, the amount of waste at this agency is so profound. And again, when you're the supermajority party in this state, you don't have to make any cuts. You can just make the citizens pay more in taxes. And I think it's time we hold some people accountable for that.
More with State Representative Alex Scarlatos in a moment. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. State Representative Alex Scarlatos. We're covering a number of things, including the upcoming special session of the legislature, talking through aspects of the Oregon Department of Transportation budget. At this point, I mean, it's kind of speculative, but how do you feel like the session will turn out? The governor is kind of framing it as a one-day session. The GOP sounds like they're not so sure they will cover it one day.
Yeah, I'm remains to be seen. It's going to be my first special, so I don't have a lot of experience in that area. But I know that the Republicans probably aren't going to give them any votes. And I would imagine the Democrats have already counted their votes ahead of time and probably presented this package in advance to all of their members. And so they probably know they have the votes. They'll probably fast track the hearings and just pretty much throw it on the floor for a straight vote, which they obviously think that they have. And I imagine it'll pass if that's the case.
Do you feel like it will be a one-day session?
I don't know. I mean, I really can't even speculate. But again, if they have the votes, it should be one or 2 days, because they're just going to show up to pass this thing and then go back on vacation.
All right. We may get back to that. Let's talk about some other things as well. What kinds of things have you been doing over the summer legislatively?
Honestly, we've got a lot coming up in the next 2 weeks. I took about the first month after we got out of session to kind of go on vacation. It was my first long session 6 months straight, so I was kind of happy to have a little bit of the summer to catch up on chores and whatnot. But I've got a couple meetings coming up over the next 2 weeks to kind of get back in step and obviously preparing for the short session. We've been talking as a caucus a lot and trying to plan and strategize how to do as much as we can to stop the ODOT budget going through and the tax increases. And I think we're pretty united as a caucus to not give them any votes, because we don't want this to be bipartisan.
Have you had many opportunities to meet people at various events?
Not too much recently. Like I said, we're just kind of getting back out there, but I'm going to be doing a lot more events. I missed the fair, unfortunately. Representative Osborne had a booth there, and he kept inviting me. And every day, I kind of got sideways. I've got a pretty big property, and my job kind of keeps me a little bit busy, too. But I look forward to getting back out there.
And when you think about the next session, going through the 26th election cycle, what does the GOP need to do to increase the number of members that are in seats and, create not so much this super minority situation?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think this transportation package is a great example for us. I mean, the GOP and our caucus has, I think, done an excellent job of highlighting that the money is there. We just need to reallocate it properly. I mean, we spend hundreds of millions of dollars trying to solve homelessness. The I-5 bridge project is hundreds of million dollars over budget. There's so much that we're doing wrong as a state, and with how much money we raise every year for state government, it's a problem of how we allocate it. And, you know, when you think of the state's responsibility and the government's responsibility, period, you think of military, roads, bridges, and of course, the one thing that we're not doing correctly is roads and bridges. And, you know, ODOT employees are the exact kind of people that you want working in government. They do the exact kind of stuff that you want government to do, and yet that's the one place where Democrats in the state unfortunately want to cut or raise our taxes in order to fund this bloated agency.
Do you ever hear from employees who maybe want to speak, sort of unofficially and tell you what they think?
Yes, actually. That's very interesting you brought that up. I had an ODOT employee emailing me when they were in front of my subcommittee while we were hearing them, and they were basically feeding me questions to ask about the upper levels of management, how irresponsible they are with their own employees, and obviously we know everything about their budget shortfalls and things like that, but just giving me a lot more insider information as far as the top level of that agency and how it's run. Because again, there's been no accountability. No one's been fired for this $1 billion budget shortfall. No one's been fired for all of this reallocation of money. And instead, they're just going to force the taxpayers to fix it by giving them more money.
Do you feel like this is maybe also an issue with other agencies?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is probably an issue across the board. I can only really speak to the ones that are in front of my subcommittee because those are the budgets that I know inside and out. But I mean, there's just so much waste on the government level. I mean, every department has, DEI offices that are at least 10 employees large that could be cut or shrunk down. The HR and the administrative departments are also massive compared to the size of most of these agencies. Even the small agencies, you're talking like 20% of the employees are just in administration for an agency that's 15 people big. It's just it's just a shame because we have so much money coming into the state government, and we just blow through all of it with no emergency reserves hardly, and the emergency reserves could fund ODOT for about 6 months, and we're not even using those. We're just going straight to the taxpayers and saying, you need to pay more money because we as a government and ODOT as an agency have been so irresponsible. I mean, it's insane.
You've got legislative days next month, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what is going to be covered there?
That's just going to be small budget fixes. It's, again, something we could probably do with the ODOT budget. That's the whole point of legislative days, just to get back in the Capitol, solve any issues, put out any fires that come up, and meet with constituents. So it's something that we should be doing then or even in the short session, I think.
Looking at the next regular session, are there any ideas out there leading to legislation you plan to hopefully introduce?
Yeah, there's actually a lot. That's one of the things I'm most excited about after, you know, my first short session. I had, you know, several ideas on things that I wanted to pass. But now, after having a little bit of experience, I know how to, the ones that didn't pass that I want to bring back, I know how to word them, how to get Democrats on board so that they have a better chance of passing. And frankly, I've got a couple other ideas for some legislation that I didn't even really think of before I actually got in the building and saw how things worked.
Do you see any changes in the committees you'll be on?
I hope not. I actually really like the committees that I'm on, but that's totally up to the speaker. We'll probably, I think every representative meets with the speaker in advance and says, hey, I like the committees I'm on, or I don't like the committees I'm on, or can I change this committee for that committee, depending on, you know, who's coming back to the legislature and that kind of movement. So, but to be honest, I got pretty lucky with my committees for a first timer.
And which ones are you on?
I'm on general government, emergency management, veterans, the subcommittee for ways and means on transportation, infrastructure, and economic development. And I know there's a lot of words, but it's three committees.
And with your background in the military, how do you feel it's helped you work that area?
Oh, it's actually been fantastic because even the veterans that are on that committee, a lot of them, well, pretty much all of them, were not in any combat MOS. So kind of bringing to the forefront issues of like PTSD and speaking about issues that actually affect combat veterans, not just the veteran population at large, I think has been hugely helpful just because there's not a lot of veterans that have, you know, deployed in the global war on terror. And I think I'm the only one in the state legislature.
And also just my understanding from veterans I've talked to, kind of every era of veterans is a bit different in what you've gone through because technology and things have changed, communications changed, etc. Haven't been able to offer that perspective from someone your age.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was one of the things that I brought up for legislation and that I'm going to bring back for the short session is Ibogaine treatment for veterans, which is, you know, basically it's like a psychedelic, almost like, you know, psilocybin, but it's not a fun time, so it's not really recreationally abused, but it shows huge potential for PTSD, TBI treatment, and even addiction issues. So that's something I'd love to bring and legalize in Oregon so that our veterans can have access to it because it's showing tremendous upside and potential.
What do you see with PTSD in younger veterans?
To be honest, it's the same as it really has always been, but I think there's kind of a misconception about veteran suicide. It's not always about PTSD. It's about general depression. You know, you get out of the military, you have no practical life skills, and then you're in your, say, late 20s, for example, and you're hitting the job market with no marketable talents if you were, you know, say, in a combat MOS. And, you know, all of your colleagues that you graduated high school or college with are all, you know, 5-6 years deep into a career. They maybe have a wife and a family, and you're basically starting from scratch. And I think a lot of veterans just get depressed about how far back they are in life compared to a lot of their colleagues. And, you know, they can't find work, can't find a girlfriend, whatever. But I think that has a lot more to do with it than a lot of people realize. There's not that many combat veterans with PTSD compared to our suicide rate.
All right, we are out of time for now. State Representative Alex Scarlato, thanks for coming in.
Anytime.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.